All right, if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to be taking a look at some things around the Christmas story the next couple of weeks. And it feels like Christmas outside, doesn't it? I mean, yesterday I'm outside, I'm sweating. I'm thinking, where's the snow? I'm a snow guy. Boo. Yeah. All right, you like snow. Yeah. Well, no matter who you are, how long you have been a follower of Jesus, or how much you know about the Bible, or where you are at spiritually, you need encouragement. Everybody in this room today, there's something going on in their life that at some point you just need somebody to, you know, give you a high five, give you a hug, something that just says, man, hang in there, you're doing a good job. There you go, Ray, I'll give you a high five. And, because we all go through these things in our head and our heart and our emotions where we feel like a loser, you know, we feel like a failure, or, you know, it's like, wow, we don't measure up. And, you know, we may not come out and say it that way, but some of us fight these things and it's like, God, do you really have anything significant for me? I mean, really, what am I here for, you know? And I think from time to time, we have to be reminded as God's people that God has something significant for you. He has something for you that only you can do. Man, He designed you, He shaped you, He formed you into the person you are. You've gone through what you've gone through. You bring some things to the table, and there is a unique purpose for you. Now, when you discover that purpose, or as God begins to reveal that and He's telling you and showing you some things He wants you to do, you're going to hear from God and you're going to go, Lord, I'm scared to death to do that. Lord, is that really, am I hearing you right on this thing? Is this really what you want me to do? You know, and you're going to fight the fear, you're going to fight worry, you're going to think, well, if I do that, some people aren't going to like me. If I do that, I'm going to get criticized or whatever, you know, whatever's going on in your mind. And everything I'm telling you, this is what Mary was experiencing when the angel showed up and said, Mary, you're special. God has placed His blessing on you, His favor on you, and He's chosen you. And here's what's going to happen. Here's how He's going to use you. And you know, Mary is saying, okay, I'm going nuts. I mean, what is happening here? And we're going to see that she fought some fear and she was confused and all this kind of stuff. So with all of that said, take a look at Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. And we're just going to highlight a couple of things this morning. And I will need to cut it a little short today because we're going to have a baptism at the end of the service. Where's that going to happen? Okay, and so I'll cut it a little short. Then we're experimenting with something today, and so and I'll explain all that to you at the end. So if you can hang around and experience it with us, we'll enjoy it together. Okay, here we go. Verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man, Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this be? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Well, obviously there's a lot going on in that little event in Mary's life, but what I want to do is I want to give you three gifts of encouragement, okay? Three inspiring things that it's not only true for Mary and her unique situation, but the principles of the truth is also true for you in your situation in life as well. Three things I hope that will encourage you. First of all, we are encouraged by the presence of God. If you are a follower of Jesus, the presence of God is with you. Now, in verse 28, Gabriel says to her, "The Lord is with you." Now, the phrase refers to the presence of God to enable someone. So, for example, there's a difference in just being with someone and being with someone. For example, this chair over here is with me, but it ain't doing nothing for me. You understand what I'm saying? Just because I'm in the same room with somebody doesn't mean they are with me. But the Bible says over and over again that the Lord is with you. And it doesn't mean just he's in the room hanging out. No, he's with you in the sense of to enable. That's what this phrase means. It means to enable. It means to empower. It means to inspire. It means to motivate. It means to support. It means to strengthen. So when God says the Lord is with you to Mary, that's what he is saying. When Gabriel says that, he said, look, the Lord is with you. He is here to help you, to empower you. And in other words, he is telling her up front, Mary, what's about to happen in your life, God is going to enable you and empower you to do this thing. You're not going to have to be alone. You don't have to come up with your own strength. You don't got to figure it all out. You just simply have to do what God's told you to do, and then and God will give you the strength to do it. Does that make sense? Okay, you picking up what I'm laying down? All right. So here we go. The presence of God, that is something very encouraging. Now, the presence of God in a believer's life is significant. Now, I know the angel is saying this to Mary, but God says this to his people over and over again. Let me give you some examples of this. Jesus made this clear in Matthew 28. He said in verse 19 when he said this, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And watch this. And he says, and be sure of this. And it's in the context of while you're making disciples, leading people to me and teaching and guiding them in the word. He says, and be sure of this, I am with you. I will empower you to do this. I will strengthen you to do this. I will enable you to do this. You don't have to do this on your own. I'm going to support you in making disciples. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying it to you. So when you get involved in kingdom work, in your home or in your life, and you're doing whatever God's called you to do, God is saying, I'm going to be with you in an enabling fashion. I'm going to strengthen you to do what I want you to do. Now, later we're told something similar in Hebrews 13:5. It says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. I'll never leave you. He's saying this, look, don't find your satisfaction in your money and your bank account and all the things you have. If you'll find your satisfaction in me and you'll just seek my will, seek my face, do what I tell you to do, just love me as I'm loving you. He said, if you'll do that, you're going to experience my presence. You're going to experience my enablement and my empowering in your life. But you're going to have to let go of trying to find satisfaction in your house, in your car, in your clothes, and all the material things. You got to let that go. And when you let that stuff go, that's not your satisfaction, and I'm your satisfaction, God is saying, you're going to experience all that presence of God that he wants to give you in order to do what it is that he wants you to do. So when God's word says, the Lord is with you, God is telling you, I am with you to strengthen and empower you to do what I've called you to do. That is a gift of encouragement for anybody who's trying to seek the will of God in their life and trying to do it. Now, number two, we are encouraged by the confidence of God. Now, when I say confidence of God, I don't mean the confidence that God has, but the confidence that God gives. Okay? In verse 30, Gabriel says to Mary, he says, look, don't be afraid. Verse 29 tells us Mary was confused and disturbed with what she was hearing and experiencing in her life and trying to figure it all out. So the angel tells her, don't be afraid. Now, I understand the context, and when an angel shows up to you, tells you something kind of crazy, and things run through your mind, and, you know, like with Mary, and she's hearing this, and she's going, oh, man, this is, how in the world do you explain this? People are going to, this is going to be, I'm confused about this. How is this going to happen? What are people going to think? What's Joseph going to think? You know, what's mom and dad going to think? What's my friends and family going to think? You know what I'm saying? And you know, she's confused about all this. And is this really Gabriel? Is this really the Lord talking? And, you know, all disturbed, and she's disturbed. That's what the Bible tells us. Sometimes when God is doing something new in your life, now listen, when God is doing something new in your life, it can be confusing and disturbing to you. Because when God speaks to you about a change in your life, about something he wants you to do that you're not doing, you don't have all the answers, because it's in that world of the unknown. It's in that world of, well, what if this happens, then that's going to happen. If that doesn't work out, then that's going to hurt. And, you know, and what are people going to think? And all these things go through your mind. And so when God speaks something to you, you're going to be a little confused by, God, are you sure about this? I mean, for example, I had some friends of mine in Alabama who, he was an engineer, and he was nearing the end of his career, and God began to work on him and his wife, and they began to take mission trips. And while I was in Southside pastoring there, they went on their first international mission trip and fell in love with it. Then they went on another one, and then they began to lead a couple of mission trips, and they went to inner city London was the first place they went. Then they went to China and did some work there. And so when he decided to retire, they believed God was speaking to them about becoming full-time missionaries in China. Think about this. They went on their first mission trip about 4 years prior to this. And they were going to go into an area where they felt like God was leading them. We're going to go into an area that was not friendly to Christians. And it was going to have to be, I don't want to say, you know, under the radar, but it was going to be under the radar. You know, they can't like walk out and say, hey, we're missionaries from the United States. We'll talk to you about Jesus. That's not going to happen. You know, they were going to have to go in, you know, they got to have a job, and they got to do some stuff. They got to help the community and then share their faith and those kinds of things. And we're talking about people in their 60s, packing, leaving your kids, your grandkids. I mean, now they're hearing this. I mean, think about this. I'm confused about this, and it's disturbing. God, is this really what you want me to do? You know? Well, let's bring it home a little bit. God may not be calling you to be a missionary, but he is speaking to your heart about something to do with you or your own career, or something that's, you got a hobby that's become an idol to you, or there's something going on in your life that God is speaking to you about. And he says, I want you to get involved in this ministry, or I want you to do this. And you're sitting thinking, God, I don't know about this, man. Am I hearing you right? I'm confused and disturbed. I'm concerned about this. Well, that's where Mary was. And you're there every time God speaks to your heart about doing something new. I mean, when you're talking about doing something new, ask any church planner about being confused and nervous about starting a church. You understand what I'm saying? Some of y'all, you know, have been on day one and even prior to day one, and, you know, it's a little confusing, it's a little disturbing at the same time, you know. But you're on the front end of it, you can't see how things are going to unfold. And you're saying, Lord, is this really what you're telling us to do, you know? And it can be confusing and disturbing. But this is where the confidence of God comes in. And then when you're walking with God and you're seeking his will and you're getting godly advice, you say, okay, Lord, am I hearing from you? His confidence, his boldness, his courage, he will give to you so you can go into it with a higher level of confidence than if you were just on your own. Again, I am going to be with you to support you, to enable you, to empower you, and empower you. And by the way, you don't need to fear. You don't need to be afraid of what I'm calling you to do. It's all going to work out. according to God's plan. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but God's going to work it out. And that's what he's telling Mary. So let's take a look at some scripture on about not fearing, because obviously one of the biggest hindrances in your life and my life in doing what God wants us to do and doing the will of God is fear. We're afraid of something. We're afraid of what somebody's going to say. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of losing money. We're afraid of, you know, of making people mad at us, people not accepting us, and whatever it is, we're just afraid. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 4, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that." Well, that's a good point. Okay. And so, I mean, Jesus, he just kind of just throws it right at you, don't he? Look, don't be afraid. Look, after they beat you to death, they're done. You know? But sometimes we're afraid of just, you know, whatever. I mean, his point is, look, just don't be afraid of what man can do. That's his point. Luke chapter 12, verse 7, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than the whole flock of sparrows." You know, God is going to take care of these birds. He's going to take care of you. Don't be afraid about, if you, you know, when you're following God's will and you're hearing what God's telling you to do, just do it. Don't worry about the other stuff, and just, God's going to take care of you. That's what he said. Don't be afraid. 2 Timothy 4, 5, Paul told Timothy, "But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord." Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given to you. Now, I want to tell you, Paul is telling Timothy, he was a pillar in the church. He was an up-and-coming young pastor that was mentored and discipled and trained by Paul himself. And Paul is telling Timothy, this guy who has proven himself by this point over and over, he said, look, don't be afraid, Timothy. You just simply do what God's called you to do, okay? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, he says this, "Even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats." Just because you do the right thing doesn't mean people will treat you right or say the right things. You just simply do what God's called you. You do it the right way. You honor God. You honor people in the process. And you just simply just don't worry or be afraid of what people are threatening towards you. Just do it. So one of these gifts of encouragement at Christmas that God is reminding us in this experience with Mary and the angel is that, you know, look, just don't be afraid. Walk in confidence with God. You know, again, his presence is with you. He's going to enable you. He's going to empower you. He's going to strengthen you. And then he's going to tell you, don't be afraid. Just do it, okay? Now, the third thing. We are encouraged by the blessing of God. In verse 30, Gabriel says to her, "You have found favor with God." Now, the best definition of the word favor is demonstrated delight. Now, this is important. When we're talking about this blessing of God or this favor of God that comes up in the Bible from time to time, we're talking about a demonstrated delight towards someone. The favor of God can be described as tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. That's what he's telling Mary. So when we favor someone, we want to be with him or her. For example, when I was at SBU, there were girls all over the place. Man, they were godly girls. I'm a godly, good-looking dude. I'm on the market, you know? But somewhere along the way, I started favoring one particular girl, you know? And then Pam came along. That's terrible, isn't it? And my wife just walks out. She says, "I'm done with that nerd." Okay, so anyway, but I started favoring Pam, and I was setting aside time for her, and I was thinking about her, and I was favoring her. And so when God is saying, "My favor is on you," he is saying, look, he's saying, you are my focus. You're a part of my family. I saved you. I set you apart. I created you, and you are part of my favor, and I'm going to bless you no matter what. Look at Isaiah 66, verse 2. It says this. These are the ones I look on with favor. For those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Now, if you want to walk in the favor of God, now listen to me, God loves you no matter what. God is going to work for you, not against you. He's going to shape you and mold you. But if you really want to walk in the favor of God, he is telling us here in Isaiah, like Mary, he is telling us here in Isaiah, here's three things. I mean, this is what grabs the heart of God. This is what grabs the attention of God, if we can say it that way, that will make you stand out. I mean, I hate those words, but that's kind of what's happening here. Because he says here, three things. If you, these are the ones I favor. Those, first of all, God's favor is toward the humble. He says, I will look on favor with those who are humble. In other words, God delights in people who are meek and respectful, the people who aren't arrogant and prideful. If you want God's favor upon your life, just walk in humility. And secondly, God's favor is toward the contrite. Now, that's not a word we use very often, but God says, I will look on with favor those who are contrite in spirit. Now, a contrite person is someone who feels and shows sorrow and remorse for the sin in their life. We're not talking about a perfect person here. God says, I will show favor on those who are contrite. In other words, when you blow it and you sin and you do something that is selfish and you say something that is selfish or you know that you've sinned against God in some way, God, he favors those who simply come to him and say, I blew it, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? And it's a genuine sorrow. And you're going to people and saying, man, I hurt you, I'm so sorry, would you forgive me? And then third, God's favor is toward the submissive. God says, I will look on with favor those who tremble at my word. Now, to tremble at God's word is to have a deep respect for what God has to say. You know, you take God's word very seriously. So when you're reading the word and you hear from God, you know, you don't just have it go in one ear and out the other. No, you're weighing it heavily. All right, God, what does this mean? What are you saying to me? How can I apply this today? And so you take what God is saying to you and feeding you from his word, you know, with a lot of seriousness. And God favors people who do that. Now, I've used the word submissive because the word submissive is a word that catches two things. And I think it catches what's being said here in Isaiah. The word submissive catches obedience, but some people can obey others and not love or appreciate the one that they're obeying. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, there are sometimes kids, they simply do what mama says because mama or daddy are bigger. I mean, they're forced, they're not being submissive, but they're doing what mama and daddy says. Okay, y'all hear what I'm saying? A person who is submissive hears what mom and dad says and does it with a willing heart in order to bring honor and glory to the mom and dad. That's a whole other animal. And this is what's happened here. When you take God's word seriously and you're obeying and you're trembling in the sense of that deep respect, it is out of a submissive heart. You're seeing the word of God and you're saying, God, I want to honor you and I don't understand why I need to do this and what your word is telling me, but I'm going to do it because I know that you love me and you want the very best for me. So out of that, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to do it even though it doesn't make any sense. So that's what's happening here. And so when you take a look at this, we really can just simply wrap it up that God is trying to encourage us as followers of Jesus with his presence that enables us, his confidence that gives us boldness, and the blessing and the favor saying, look, just submit yourself to me, just humble yourself before me, and you will experience all the blessings I really want you to have. And so Mary's kind of hearing all this stuff. You're hearing it today too. So here's the question for you. When you hear something like this, obviously I know God doesn't, you know, hammer out every single point, but what is it today that God has said to you? What grabs you? Was it something in the song today? Was it something in the sermon today? Was it a scripture? Was it a point? Was it a statement? What is it that jumped off the page and God has told you, hang on to, I want you to think about that today. All right, you need to write that down and you need to meditate and say, okay, God, what am I supposed to do with this today? All right. Now, if you're here today and you are saying, you know what, I'm not a follower of Jesus, but I would really like to be a follower of Jesus, we want to sit down and talk with you. We want to have a conversation with you, answer your questions. We encourage you, you can come and talk to me or just fill out a connection card or welcome card that's in the chair there. Take it to the Welcome Center and fill that thing out. And but if you have some other questions and you're a follower of Jesus and you just need to sit down and talk with somebody, we'll be glad to do that. Do the same thing. Welcome card, give it to me or just take it to the Welcome Center and we'll get a hold of you ASAP, okay?